welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass service, which was usually chosen for us completely at random. Whether it's a magical or a horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not a game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we'll share what we're playing on the next show as well, so you always know what's coming up on the next adventure. As I mentioned, it's always me and a guest, and after a long string of episodes featuring my friend Doogie, I'm really happy that Michaela, my partner in life and everything, is back on the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
It's been a while.
It has.
I mean, not since I've seen you, but since you've been here.
Yeah, I can't remember when the last one was, which is weird.
Ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I got to play this game.
The only piece of like fan mail or like mail that the show's ever really received was about how much they enjoyed episodes that you were on the show, and I think the only other female presence has been Courtney, and I apologize if I'm incorrect and someone else has come on, but I think it's just our friend Courtney.
Yeah.
Geekscape Games alum. But yeah, they just like the female representation, which I would love to get more of. But we'll see you next month.
That's again, awesome. Basically. Yeah. I make no commitments. We'll see what game is chosen.
I mean, it took you long enough to play this one, so
let's not choose me this time.
Yeah, no. I can't even remember what the last game we played.
Honestly, I can't. Yeah. Which we probably should have looked that up before we got matter. Here.
There's archives, if you like what she says, listen up. We're here to talk about last month. Actually, we had a little bit of a gap. Some life stuff happened and I took a month off, but in the last episode, Doogie and I discussed MLB the Show 21 or 22 or whatever, which was god awful. And
I just realized I didn't listen to that episode.
Do you listen to them usually?
I do. I try. Yeah. I at least, listen to some of most of them. And that sounds
Call like... of the Sea, that was the last episode you were on.
Oh yeah. That's funny because the title of this game that we played
we're talking about our experience with Sea of Solitude today.
We've got a theme
apparently. So you'll come on every ocean themed episode.
That is a game that would be under 10 hours. Yes.
Yeah, that's all you can commit to.
I mean, a game that's 10 hours for you is usually at least 15 for me, so...
That's true, true. Yeah, why don't we just jump right into it?
Let's do it.
Why don't you tell us what Sea of Solitude's about
first? Okay. So, the synopsis for Sea of Solitude is this. Dun-dun-dun. When human gets... I'm having trouble speaking today, I noticed, so this is going to go really well. I'm really excited for this. When humans get too lonely, they turn into monsters. Sea of Solitude takes you on a personal journey of a young woman's loneliness. Set sail across a beautiful and evolving world where nothing is quite what it seems. Meet fantastical creatures and monsters, learn their stories, and solve challenges. Explore a flooded city either by boat, on foot, or by swimming through the water itself. Dare to look at what lies beneath the surface in a haunting struggle of darkness and light, and discover what it truly means to be human. How could you not sign up to play that game?
Well, I can't remember. I'm all over the place. I don't know if it was the Game Awards or some sort of award show or what. Maybe it was PAX. It might have been E3. No, like I remember the first trailer for this game coming out and you being like instantly like, oh, that looks so cool. I'm into that type of thing, which I feel like you often do. And then the game comes and goes and you're like, I didn't play it and I don't know anything about it. But you're like, when the trailer happens, you're like, I got to play this. It looks so cool.
Well, I think the art style looked beautiful and it's such an interesting concept to explore, like pain and sadness. And hopefully there's a happy ending, that is hopefully the outcome of most pain and sadness. But I feel like that's something that is not necessarily embraced or talked about openly or in that kind of, I haven't seen a lot of it in that kind of art form. And
right.
It piqued my interest seemed accessible. It seemed simple enough that anyone could get into it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was like ocean themed and the colors and the art style and the lighting all felt like it was like directly marketed to me specifically.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous game. It's like a cel shaded kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say action platformer, but like adventure platformer game. There's some jumping and there's avoiding stuff, and you know, that's most of it, which I mean, you say it's simple enough for anyone to get into.
Yeah.
Is it to its detriment though? Like, I definitely felt like, you know, looking at my time on Xbox, it was like about 4 hours to complete this game. And probably when I got like halfway through, I was like, are you going to introduce any new mechanics anytime soon? Cause this is kind of getting old. And
then it did.
Then it did not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The whole wolf face thing.
Yeah, but that's not like it was doing, you're not doing anything differently really throughout the game. Like, so it's basically like you are a sad girl who has now become a monster. I don't know. I had a hard time. Like, I thought this game, I'm jumping all over the place. This game was really emotional and really interesting, but I can't really tell you what it meant.
Okay.
Can you tell me? Fill me in, please.
Yeah. Are we like spoilers?
There's going to be spoilers. Came out like 5 years ago.
Let's decide whether or not you should play it so that people can decide whether or not they should play it if they want to listen to spoilers.
Yeah, I would say give it a try. Generally we go skip it, give it a shot, must play. I don't think it's a must play. I think it is worth a try though. And if the, you know, if in the first 30 minutes the story resonates with you and you find that interesting, that is worth it enough to push through the game, which I think gets boring. But you know, if you don't care at that point, like, you're not going to care. So don't continue.
I think definitely if you start this game, you've probably watched the trailer or read the synopsis and understand that it's going to be a journey around mental health. And if that is something that doesn't interest you or is too triggering for you in that moment, don't play the game. But if it's something that you're open to exploring, I think you definitely should. I think the game is short enough that you don't necessarily have to be bored. Like, know that it's going to be, for you, it was 4 hours. For me, it was more than 4 hours, but under 10 for sure. And I think that's about all I could handle of that, like, amount of emotional turmoil.
Really? Like, did it affect you emotionally then?
Yeah. Like, when I look at when we play games for the podcast, we play them separately. Totally. We don't talk about them. Yeah. And I, of course, have a memory like a sieve. And
what does that mean?
Things just go right through my brain. And I don't hold on to them anymore. Can't hold on to them.
I thought you said like a sim at first.
Sims have memories? I don't know. They make friends in romances. They must have some memories. Yeah. Anyways, the first thing that I said when I, like, in my notes was, I'm nervous. What if it makes me uncover something? And then the next line down, I don't know if I was commenting something that had been said in the game or if I was commenting my own feelings, but it just says, tired of feeling depressed and alone? What does that mean? I don't remember. But yeah, it definitely resonated with me.
Okay.
And I thought to myself many times as I was playing the game, is this going to be the first podcast where somebody bursts into tears? Like, it was a lot. But I also am very grateful to see in this sort of slow, accessible art form that somebody can share an experience that they have had that makes me feel like I am not alone in that experience.
Sure. Yep.
So I would say definitely play it if you have any interest in that.
Yeah. Realm. And like you said, it is like gameplay wise, it is simple to understand.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't say that means it's easy. I definitely had frustrating moments, but you know, I'm the person who, like, my first memory of trying to play what I considered like a real video game that wasn't like Diddy Kong Racing was...
How's Diddy Kong Racing not a real video game?
Yeah, I don't know. Real video game is not the right word.
You could
not
see what a real video game is.
I what is the term that I should use? What are the like a
hardcore game?
Like okay. It was like a video game that I would never pick up because I didn't feel like I could adequately play it.
Sure.
And then for some reason I played it and I didn't play it because I just got stuck in a corner with one stick.
I mean,
I've
seen
you do that
with
my head go in circles. Yeah. So that's the kind of person that I am in playing video games. And I did not struggle to pick up this game and to become invested in it. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, it didn't take away from the playing of the story by having to figure out too much, which I think is probably part of what was boring for you in that you are a very skilled video game player who can manage two sticks and shooting things and whatever.
I mean, you played through the first Halo. You can manage a couple sticks.
Oh, just barely. I only played it because we were playing it together. And so I could do the thing that you could compensate for and it was fine. Which is great, because then I got to experience that game, and I probably would have gotten too frustrated and given up if I had
you
not
definitely would have. You definitely would have,
So, teamwork.
I don't know, though, that... So, it kind of, the game frames it as you meet these different monsters along the journey, and they're people that... I think they're all people that you know, it felt like. Like, it was, like, your brother... And your parents and your boyfriend.
Yes.
And like.
Well, and I think my impression, the first monster that you meet is the like sea monster.
Yeah.
And my impression was that is the depression.
I also thought that. And it spoke, I thought, with the same voice as the main character or very similar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
So I thought that was like a piece of her or whatever that, you know, if she let it, which was basically by going in the water.
Yeah.
If she let it, it would consume her.
Yeah. It felt like this constant battle to like try and escape this thing that is connected to you and constantly chasing you and will just consume you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
but then you do meet the other monsters who you're like, both trying to help. They don't really seem like they want to get you. They seem like they're running away from you
towards the
or
end
in their own
help
stuff.
You, at least one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. So the brothers was a like a blackbird, like a crow or something. I'm not sure what the dad's was, like a lizard, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
And then the mom's was like this beautiful, crazy octopus thing.
Yeah.
But then there was another one that was like a girl in a shell.
Yep.
And I don't really know what that one was. That by the end of it, I kind of wondered if maybe that was like her negative coping mechanisms. Because at one point that monster... Oh, and then she had the boyfriend who was the wolf.
Yes.
And at one point, the girl in the shell had been removed from the shell, and then she was standing in the path trying to stop you from going towards the wolf. And I didn't remember at that point why this one would be trying to help you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe it was like, you know.
And it was like a neat, like... Because each of them you affected and they affected you, it felt like, you know, in them telling their stories, which is largely through like audio flashbacks type thing. Like you're walking to the next area and you hear conversations happen or conversations that your character whose name Kay may or may not have been a part of. So Sonny, your brother, for instance, like, he, you know, it starts out and he's like basically like, kind of like upset and he's trying to talk to you and you're just like obsessed with your boyfriend or whatever. You're like, oh, don't worry about it. Something like you're fine and just pays him no mind. And he's getting like severely bullied at school. And that was like a super, like when you're, there's a section where you're like walking through the school. And if you, there's all these like shadowy figures. And if you get too close to them, they like come and chase you and like push you. And just over and over and over again for like 15 minutes is chanting like, we're gonna kill you or something.
I think it's, but it's like this eerie voice too. It was I think we're gonna find you, we're gonna kill you.
Yeah, just like over and over and over and over. And it was like, that was probably the high point of the game for me, just because it felt so like, just that whole story and how it could have been very different if Kay hadn't made the choices that she made, and but how I don't know, uncomfortable or disturbing like the endless chants were. It felt terrible.
It felt terrible. Like, it was so uncomfortable having someone repeat that to you over and over and over again. And it was like this little voice inside your head, but it's coming from all these children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I was so uncomfortable, and I so felt for people who are having that experience. Like, that is, like, all of this stuff is based on people have these experiences. Mm-hmm. And then we just, like, to tell someone who's being bullied, like, to just suck it up or ignore them or whatever, or to not even take the time to hear them. And then that begs the question, like, whose responsibility? Who holds fault for that? Because she, after realizing, having this flashback that she was there and he was trying to tell her how terrible it was and was asking her for help, and then she ignored him because she was focused on her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And she's probably dealing with her own mental health at that point. Like, what culpability does she have in the outcome for her brother? And now she's feeling responsible to, like, save him. Which she does. She manages to save him. But, like,
yeah, like, each of the characters that she meets, which are all very close people to her, she, like, helps to basically pull out of whatever they're in. And in doing so, helps herself as well.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely thought that he was going to die. Yeah. I thought her brother was dead. And this was like, because it's kind of the first time I think that you're really introduced to the, like, audio like that.
Yeah.
And
it's the first story that's, like, the first story of herself.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought for sure that her, like, her brother had died or, like, committed suicide because of this terrible bullying, and that she had an opportunity to, like, be there for him and wasn't. And I was like, holy shit, this game is sad. And it didn't turn out that way, but it was very,
you felt the feels.
It was, and, you know, I like talking about it now, I feel more positive talking about it than I actually felt while playing it, maybe. And I just feel like it was really boring.
Yeah.
And because it's essentially
the mechanics are very simple.
They're so simple. And it basically,
but initially I did struggle because it doesn't give you any sort of tutorial or, like, guidance on how to use them,
right,
really. And so, like, at one point you're supposed to, like, use the right stick, I think.
Is that when you, like, first go in, like, the ball of light?
And then,
yeah, I was like, I thought it was a cutscene or something. So I'm, like, waiting there for a minute.
And she's making this terrible screaming noise. So there's, like, a ball of light, or, like, a light that's girl shaped or something. Yeah,
that's glowy, right?
And and then you can connect. I don't know what they call it, but you can connect to it where, like, your body starts floating in the spot where the light is, and that gives you the ability to, like, send out this, like, beam of
which
light,
like, destroys the,
which,
like,
then
corruption.
You connect to things it destroys the bad stuff, whether it be the monsters or there's, like, corruption, which is, like, these black, like, smoke monsters that connect to the glowing things, which are the good happy bits. Then you, in that scene, you, like, are, it doesn't tell you how you're supposed to, or what you're supposed to do now that you have the ability to connect this beam of light to something. And I just, like, was pushing the stick to one side, and she's, like, making this moaning, groaning, like, she's in pain, like, and it's hard.
And
sound.
Then does move very slowly.
And it just keeps going on and on. Yeah. And then finally I figured out that if I turned the stick a little bit the other way, it would
that
eventually
part I
click with something.
I felt silly too, because I was like, oh shit, it's not a cutscene.
So there were some bits like that where, like, I wasn't quite sure what I was supposed to be doing or if I was doing it right.
But basically,
like, there was that, and then the sucking the smoke monster things into your backpack,
like in the gym.
Whenever there's like a glowing ball that you're chasing yeah. most of the time, and whenever called glowy, and usually when you get to a new space and you have to like overcome something, glowy splits up into a few different glowing balls with black smoke monsters floating around it, and you have to like suck the smoke monsters in so that the glowing ball can like regather itself.
And you basically at any point you can. I don't know if it started as like a flare, I think.
Yeah. Right?
Like you can send out a flare and it can sometimes affect the monsters or the corruption depending on where you are. But it also is very handy because it always tells you where to go.
Yeah. Like what your next objective is.
Which at some points you're like, you might be on a, you know, the sea portion is like a city.
Yeah.
And it's basically like flooded. So you're on like a little like rowboat thing and you're kind of going through it on a rowboat, and so at points it can be like a fairly large open area, so the flare kind of always points you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of like the levels and the gameplay, it really amounts to like you're trying to get from A to B, and it's kind of like a puzzly way to do so. Like maybe you need to cross the water, but there's a giant monster in the water and he'll eat you if he gets too close, so you like have to watch the monster and wait for him to be as far away as possible so you can get to the next chunk before he can get you. Or maybe like, you know, in the gym, there's these groups of essentially like these bullies, and if you get too close to them, they'll come and chase you and like kill you. But you basically, so you like get close enough so they'll start chasing you, and then you're trying to like run around so that you can like get past them without them getting to you, and you know, just stuff like that. But maybe you got to jump across some gaps or something, because it is kind of a light platformer at heart, I would say. But that like, that doesn't really change throughout the game.
No.
You know, and at one section it's like, oh, you have to like pick up these like shards that can like melt the ice, but it's still just really like grabbing this thing, which basically amounts to going to it and hitting a button and like then running away from these things that are chasing you.
But you can't really run at a faster speed.
Yeah. So you're trying to like lead them so they get like stuck and stuff like that. But I don't know. I felt like that got old over the 4-hour period. I would have liked more. And I don't know what I can't tell you what I would have liked to be different, but it just didn't feel like there was much variety in that gameplay. And, you know, changing the environment out from this flooded city to, say, a like building that was partially in rubble to, you know, a couple of other places, like it didn't, changing the setting didn't feel like it was changing enough.
Yeah.
And if the story wasn't as interesting as it was, and again, I would love for you to explain it to me more, because I feel like I don't know that I got a lot of it.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating. But if it wasn't as fascinating as it was, I wouldn't have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, it really is carried by its story, which I feel like had its high point early on during the Sunny or the school bullying section.
Yeah. I think the Sunny portion was one of the hardest ones. Not hard gameplay wise, but hard emotionally. Though the different, like each different kind of relationship and the struggles that each person was having within those relationships did all hit in a very different way various aspects of mental health. And like, I don't know, that I know that I have struggled with my mental health for different reasons throughout most of my life.
Yeah.
And like, here we are sitting in a pandemic where like our whole lives have been turned upside down forever. You know, so I think everyone to some degree can, especially at this point, can relate to having to like fight your own inner battles and also wanting to take care of the people that you love and not being able to. Here, I'm going to start crying. It's happening. And like, how do you know when to draw the line of like, I can't take care of you because I have to take care of me. And how do you know when...
Are you breaking up with me on this podcast?
Oh my God, don't make me laugh. No, I'm not.
No, that's after.
Give me 45 minutes. No, I love you. I just, you know, and that applies both in relationship, but also like friendships. Like, I have friends who struggle with mental health stuff too. And like, I obviously want to be there for the people that I love and care about, but sometimes it's too hard. Sometimes I don't have the like mental, emotional capacity right. to give that person what they need because I am in the space that I'm in.
Yep.
And then I know that the people who love and care about me want to be there for me, but are also dealing with their own shit. Like it's just very interesting to think about how much we impact each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
definitely. How lonely it can be and why.
Yeah.
You know,
I think maybe I struggled a bit as well in like fully absorbing is not the right word, but fully like being into the game, like, you know, I'm halfway finished. And then, you know, my like grandfather had a terrible car accident and died a few days later. And
did you start playing this before? Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was halfway through, you know, a couple hours into this game and then that happened. And then which is why there was no show last month. Cause it was all happening towards the end of the month. And, knowing, cause I'd been through, say, the sunny portion and right. knowing how like heavy and like upsetting that was, then it was just hard to like bring myself to like pick up the game again, even though I'm like, I know it's a short game. I know yeah. I've only got a couple hours left at most. And then I don't know. I feel like that first half really emotionally affected me. That second half, I almost feel like I was playing just to play.
Yeah.
Because as we're recording, you know, this, it's March 30th. And so, you know, when there's not a lot of time left, it's yeah. got to come out soon. So I feel like I was playing it to play it versus playing it to experience it. Yeah. And I wonder if that is why it didn't the rest of it. Like I have such strong memories and feelings about that portion and not a lot about the after portion. And I yeah. wonder if that is why.
Well, and I wonder if you needed to like kind of build a bit of a wall, because how do you explore those vulnerable parts of yourself through this video game experience
right.
when you've just had to like live in that
yeah sure
fucking hell
yeah
like you know you spend enough time having to be in that sad space in real life, it's hard to open that up to something that isn't
sure
necessary
yeah yeah definitely.
I didn't realize you had started it, or I didn't think about that. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sure at some point I knew, but yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
But this is the game that you would be playing while going through
yeah.
all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good timing.
Yeah. I mean, at least it wasn't a game about grandparents. Could have been worse.
That's true. That's true. There was the parents section, though, which yeah. I thought was, I don't know, it was like her parents like seem to like hate each other, and you know, and it starts with like the beginning of their relationship and everything is nice. And then it, you know, it seems like maybe they rushed into things and, you know, rushed into it at some point. They're like, oh, I bought this house for you. And that becomes like a point of contention. And like, there's so many things that start off with the best of intentions that
fall apart
to the point where like these people don't want to be around each other.
Yeah.
Which was also like, I don't know, that felt real, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like obviously having kids in the mix and like trying to hide it from them. But you kids aren't fucking stupid. You yeah. can't hide it from them.
Well, and then that like begs the eternal question of staying together for the kids right. or not.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot in this. Like, I don't know. In talking about it, I do feel, I don't know. I feel like it was boring, but yeah. I feel like it is worth pushing through probably because of, I don't know. But also like, if you want to play like a sad,
if you want to be sad for a
sad ass game, then pick this one up, I guess. Like,
yeah, I think like the story was fairly simply presented. And the gameplay was fairly simple, but the way that things were presented was quite evocative.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it touches on so many parts of life that are so real.
Sure.
That it it makes you, if you take the time to reflect and be present with yourself while you're playing it,
yep,
or after you're playing it, it makes you think about so much.
Yeah,
it does. There's so much to process there. And so then, even though it's a 4-hour game, it becomes this huge thing that has so much meaning to it. And there's so much to like digest.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. What talented people.
Yeah, it's cool. I love this. It was published by like EA, but it's part of this like EA Originals line.
Okay.
Where they find like independent developers, I guess, and give them this platform. And there's not a ton of EA Original games from what I can remember, but you know, like A Way Out, which we played together and loved, was an EA Original. And it's so far and away different. Like, you know, if you were like, can you guess which company published this, and like didn't know, you know, you EA would be the last company on your
you
list,
as
probably.
In like the general you, not the Michaela you, right?
I mean, EA would probably be on close to the top of your list, because you can probably only name like 2 or 3, but like Nintendo, Xbox, and you're like, well, it's Microsoft Studios actually,
but it still counts.
You last month you asked me if I was gonna play Horizon on my Xbox, so it was kind of like the Nintendo grandma thing. Like,
I am not as bad as a Nintendo grandma. No, yeah. I do not accept that. I know some things,
but yeah, it's cool too. I like, these are the guys that make Battlefield and Ruined Battlefield and The Sims and like all these like cash cows.
Yeah,
and to publish this game that like nobody played it. I can't imagine that like many people played this.
This is someone, what do you call those like love projects?
Like a labor of love.
Yes. Yeah. This is someone's fucking baby.
Yeah. And just to like, you know, I don't know how many copies this game would have sold, but now anyone can play it as part of Game Pass. And I think it's, I don't know. I love the like short experiences, because it means I can experience more of them. And so like,
you love variety.
I do love variety. And so like, I don't know. I, as many issues that I had with the gameplay, I do hope that people discover this game, because it does feel, it feels heavy, but it feels like real.
Yeah.
And in such an interesting, like with such an interesting presentation.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really interesting way to do all that. And it's like, you know, it's gorgeous, and it like, there's really like a minimal interface, so you can really just focus on what's happening, and the soundtrack is quite beautiful. And, you know, it's really quite a stellar presentation, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and although like, I feel like we're focusing very much on the heaviness of it, I think you can appreciate the heaviness and the darkness, and you can be in it, because there's always little glimpses and little bits of light that you're working towards. And the way that they're able to shift the tone from the moments of darkness to the moments of brightness was amazing. Like, I felt my mood and my like emotional status changing literally as they are changing what's happening. Like when you go from like this stormy, rainy, everything's dark day to like, oh, you've just successfully done something, and now you're getting back in your boat, and the sun is out, and the water's
like
coming down a bit,
your brother or whatever,
and and like, oh, things can be okay. There is a way out of this.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you feel hopeful. Which, like, how do they do that? How do they make me feel something? Yeah. I don't understand how they do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's so talented. All of those people, like, everyone who put energy into this.
Yeah. Which was, like, looking at the credits, it seemed like a really small...
Yeah.
Small avenue,
the credits were really cool. Did you do like, it ends and you like get to this island and then you like walk along the beach, and as you're walking along the beach in the sky, it like does the each person's name.
And then you like kind of walk up some steps, and then it says like, there's like chapter 12. And then what was it called? Just like,
I can't remember.
Like hope or like daylight or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then it just cuts.
And then like, it just ends because the next chapter.
Yeah, I thought that that was a really neat ending for sure. Yeah.
But then I like, so when I finished the game, then as like it does those credits, it does the chapter 12, and then it starts rolling the like actual credits.
Yep.
And I must have been like either texting or writing notes about finishing it. And then at the like very final, after the credits are done rolling, it's like a dark, stormy screen with a dude in a boat, and he's like just dark gray and his eyes are glowing red and he's just staring at you. And I was like, oh my God, it's gonna happen again. We have to do it again. Oh, but I don't really know what that was about.
Yeah. Just to tell you that the depression always comes back.
Right?
You
can't like, win. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
I think, like, that it made it feel like you just have to beat these battles, but I don't think that's true. Like, I think you just keep going through the dark and the light and the dark and the light, and hopefully you get some of the light.
It's like waves, you know? Like the tide.
Life is exhausting. Yeah. I'm exhausted. I wanted to talk about the girl, the like character that you play. It was so creepy and so neat. Like it was creepy at the same. She's like this cross between like a human and a bird. It seems like she has like feathers coming out of her. And her hair kind of seems like feathers, but she's all black and her eyes are like glowing red.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what the purpose of that was, but it was powerful and uncomfortable and very interesting. And then as she like defeats all of the monsters, she like eventually does turn into herself, whatever her true form is.
Yeah.
And then it's really interesting because she's like following this like bright light girl who's like floating in the sky wearing a yellow rain jacket with her like white blonde hair. And that's kind of like her guiding light throughout the game when it's not the glowing orb.
Yep.
And so I was like, is that like her antidepressants? Did she discover antidepressants? Is that what's happening? I don't really know what that was. Yeah. Or is that like the representation of her happy self that she is chasing?
Yeah.
And then, sorry, I just have a tickle in my throat. I just have to take a sip of water. And then when she's fighting the like wolf monster that is her boyfriend, instead of like school kids bullying her, it's like all these like, it looks like the yellow jacket girl, but she's like ghoulish and gray and evil. And so like and then afterwards the yellow jacket girl acknowledges that she like got weird for a minute there, she's sorry, she's not sure what happened to her. I don't really understand that piece. Like, what is, did the goodness in her become bad because she was in love with someone who wasn't good for her? I don't really know.
I don't know.
It was very confusing. Also very interesting that, like, I don't know, she loved him and she had to be with him in order to not be with him anymore. And he had his own struggles. And, like, how do you know when to keep going and when to walk away? Like, how do you know when something is bad or good and nothing is all bad or all good? And how do you decide? And life is just really hard. And then I didn't really understand the ending because she like that monster that was like the girl in the shell, who I'm not really sure what that represented, ended up sacrificing herself to the depression monster that eats you and you die. So was that her coping?
Right.
Was it representative of her in some way? Like, it was like she needed to sacrifice this specific monster in order to beat the depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that meant. Do you know what that
meant? I don't know. I'm not sure what that meant. I'm sure someone could tell you, but it's not me.
Reddit will tell me.
There you go. Probably
should have
Reddit.
Googled.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that it wasn't longer.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it so much because I feel like you didn't. I can't recall, but I think you didn't like Sea of Call of the Sea.
Yeah, I don't think I did. Or was it that I didn't? No, I don't think I liked it that much.
Yeah.
But
which you were really disappointed by because when the trailer came out, you were like, oh my gosh, I have to play this. And then you didn't until the opportunity came on the show.
But... And then we had very different choices for the ending of that game.
Yeah, you were like, fuck you, I'm gone. And I was like,
I'll hold on to you forever, even if it makes our lives terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you had such a good time with this.
Yeah, me
too. Is there any final thoughts?
I don't think so.
Before we wrap up?
I think like it was haunting. At one point, one of my notes is "fuck, it's so depressing."
Did you cry while playing the game?
I don't think so.
No, just talking about it.
Just talking about it. Like, I really felt it.
Yeah.
I really felt down while I was playing it. And I think that kind of made me motivated to, like, keep going because I didn't want to sit in those feelings anymore.
Sure.
Like, that's why if this shit is going to be triggering for you, don't play it. Like, take care of yourself. You have to know going into it, you got to take care of yourself. And like just someone tell me when you know to take care of other people and when you know to take care of yourself because I don't know, it seemed like she needed to fight everyone's battles for them and that doesn't seem fair. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Because I don't have the energy for that, you know, like it's hard enough doing shit yourself, let alone everyone else's shit.
Well, I'm sorry. You're so sad now.
No, it's fine, though. Yeah. You know, there's sunshine and a tropical island at the end, so I'm fine.
There was,
It's fine.
Yeah. For at least a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ebbs and flows, right?
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I'm glad that you had such a good time with it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thank you for inviting me to play this game.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing... I thought we saw it at PAX, but maybe it was just a trailer on a show, but...
I feel like it was like an E3 announcement.
Maybe.
Or something. Yeah.
And
years ago, because it's been out for several years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was very interested in it. And it's because it was such a small... I think we saw the person who made it talking about it, actually. Like, the woman whose idea it was. And that made me interested in it, because she was talking about...
That sounds familiar.
...being, you know, her fucking experience.
Yeah, right.
And other people's experiences, too, meshed into one that people can consume. But, I don't think I would have played it without having to. And I'm glad that I did.
Yeah.
And...
you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So usually this is the point in the show where we would draw a game for the next episode, or draw two games, rather, and have you select whether you like me or whether you hate me based on what game you choose. But we've had a special request.
Oh.
And, you know, now a couple of months ago, but Game Pass recently had a game called Danganronpa. I hope I'm saying that right. Added to it.
I remember that combination of words from, is it from Geekscape Games?
Or was it
from Comic-Con?
It was something that, you know, one fine San Diego summer was yelled throughout the streets of San Diego.
I
think nobody knew what it
meant
except for Josh Jackson, who will be chatting about the game with me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So Josh will be here. And I think it was when I think we found this out and decided on this during a Geekscape Games episode every other Thursday on the Geekscape.network. But, you know, I was like, he was like, we should play this. And I was like, absolutely. I'm so glad. Like, I'm really excited to find out, you know, why all the game consoles are now these anime babes or something. And that's a different game. So, you know, I literally know nothing about this. But I'm very excited.
Are there waifus in it?
I don't know. You'll have to wait and find out.
I'll have to listen to the next one.
Not like that last one.
Don't tell Doogie.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you again for coming back.
Thank you
to
for
the
having
show.
Me.
And I'm sure we'll hear from you before too long.
Probably.
We got to keep the female representation up.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you can make some other lady friends.
Okay.
You just looked interested when I framed it that way. You're like, maybe I'll do
we'll
it.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in just 1 month with Danganronpa.
Nice.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.